Psalm 107, verse 2. If you read it with me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this March series on overcomers. And thank you, Lord, that we are your redeemed. Lord, that you have redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Lord, that Satan no longer has a hold on us. Lord, we thank you for your delivering power today. And Lord, I pray that you break through every barrier, Lord, that would keep us from hearing the word of the Lord and receiving what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Oh God, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. And you need us to be your voice in this earth. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I read a quote that says, when you accept the fact that your true identity includes being an overcomer, you will never settle for less than a miracle from God. All right, our true identity is to be an overcomer. Let's take a look at our prayer on our proclamation sheet. On our card, and it should also be on the PowerPoint. There it is, right there. If you can't read your card, you're ready? Let's read it. My body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed, and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. My members, the parts of my body, are instruments of righteousness, yielded to God for his service and for his glory. The devil has no place in me, no power over me, no unsettled claims against me. All has been settled by the blood of Jesus. I overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and I love not my life unto the death. My body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for my body. Amen. This is a good proclamation to pray and declare it over yourself and your family every day. Every day. It's all based on the word of God. Amen. The Bible says a lot about being an overcomer. And you know, I really enjoyed listening to Jay's message. Enjoyed listening to Elder Sylvia's message. I hear you had awesome praise and worship while we were gone. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. River of Life is a blessed congregation with several ministers who are able to hear the voice of the Lord and deliver the message and release the heart of worship. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we thank God for all of them. And a little bit later, the offering baskets are out because we're going to receive a second offering a little bit later for honorariums. So let's go on with our message because the Bible says a whole lot about being an overcomer. Overcome the world. Let's read this scripture together in 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Overcomers are followers of Christ who successfully resist the power and the temptation of the world system. Okay, we overcome the world and all of its temptations. And the world conquers me when it succeeds in hindering me from seeing and loving and holding communion with my Father God. You see, the world will interrupt you. Have you noticed? Oh, yeah, the world will interrupt you. Out of the blue, something happens to distract you, to pull you off track. are to take your time. Have you had any time stolen from you? You know, the devil's a thief. The devil's a thief. And the world system is out to destroy you. The world is not for you. It has a lot of pleasures, a lot of riches. And if you have a desire to be famous and to be rich, you can get lost in the world system. And let me say, there's nothing wrong with being famous, and there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. But what's wrong with it is when it becomes your idol and takes up all of your time, and that's your first priority. Okay, so the world will destroy us. The scripture said, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And by that, the apostle means that my faith brings me into contact with the one great victory over the world, which was won for all time by Jesus Christ. My faith in Jesus Christ connects me with his victory over the world. And I can appropriate Christ's conquest for myself if I'll trust him. He conquered once and for all. And the very remembrance of his conquest by faith will make me strong and will teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. He conquered once for all, and his victory will pass with the Holy Ghost supernatural power into my life if I trust him. You see, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And because he's in us, we can overcome the world. We cannot overcome the world in our own strength. Tell your neighbor, you are not strong enough. We are not strong enough within ourselves to overcome the world. But it is Jesus Christ in us who overcame the world. And because of that, we join ourselves to him by faith. And we bring him into our daily life. You know, that's part of the key. It's bringing God into our daily life to be an overcomer. He made us an overcomer. That's our identity. But we can't do it on our own. We are nothing without his help. We're nothing without his help. If we keep hold of his hand and we stay in his presence, then all of the deception of the world and what's really going on will become very clear to us. We'll begin to understand. This is a false facade. It offers you fame, riches, if you'll just do this, this, and this. But you know, you jump through one hoop in the world, and then there's another hoop. And then there's another hoop. And another one. And it just doesn't deliver on its promises. But God always keeps his promise. And when he makes you wealthy, like Gabe said this morning, he adds no sorrow with it. He adds no sorrow with it. And he has exactly what you need to get by. You know that. He has more than enough, actually. So we hold fast to our faith in Christ until the end. And faith is like a calming agent for our soul. You know that? Because when things are going sporadic and seem like they're out of control, when we have faith in God's word, we can center ourselves and we can receive that peace and that calm that only comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Jesus said, I have to go away so that I can send my Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit is with us everywhere we go. He's always with us, and he's a spirit of wisdom, knowledge. And Jesus even said he would tell us things that are to come. So you know what? He'll give you a heads up. Aren't you glad? He doesn't leave us stranded. He doesn't leave us in the dark. He will give us a heads up, and he will continue to lead us. So as a Christian, we overcome the world by faith. And we invite Jesus into our daily life as we conduct the affairs of this world. We can't be satisfied with the world, but we look beyond what we see. Because when we have faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we look beyond our circumstance and situation to look for Jesus and what he's doing in our life, in our situation. So if we want to live as overcomers, we have to humble ourselves before the Lord. Get close to Jesus. How do you do that? In your thoughts. What you think about is what produces your feelings. If you have bitter thoughts, you're going to have bitter feelings. What is going on in your head is going to be manifested in your heart and in your life. And so our thoughts need to be of the Lord. And when we get those frustrating thoughts, and we all get them, don't we? We all get them. We got to pull in the Word of God. That's why it's so important to hide God's Word in our hearts. Yesterday I taught a seminar to the Interdenominational Ministers Association. Apostle Edwin Newsom is the president, and they met here yesterday, and the seminar was on stress and depression and burnout. And all of that works together to defeat us so that we do not fulfill God's call in our life. If we allow stress to come into our life, you know, we're going to have stress. And you have to have a certain amount of stress to accomplish anything. Did you know that? So there's good stress and then there's bad stress. It's that stress that breaks you, that presses on you all the time. But God has given us remedies, and everything I taught was from the Word of God. God gives us remedies to deal with stress because he said he would never put more on us than we could bear. And so sometimes we take on more than we're supposed to. Or we get involved in someone else's battle that's not our battle. Or we enable someone to be able to stay in the condition they're in. And while we're doing that, we're getting pulled down. You know, the whole idea is to build one another up, to encourage one another, to help one another bear. There's times when we bear one another's burdens, but you don't bear the burden of every day for a person. Everybody has their own knapsack and burden to bear. Is that right? But sometimes that burden we're bearing becomes like this big old boulder. And we've got to have people help us. You know, it's like when you lose a family member and you have so much going on. That's when the family of God rushes to help. Or when you've been sick or you've been in the hospital, you can't get off that bed. The family of God runs in to help. When you've been laid off, the family of God runs in to help. We get ourselves, and I believe God allows us to get into situations where we are just totally dependent upon him, and it humbles us. Amen. How many here would just instantly call someone and ask them to help you? Very few people will actually ask someone for help. Is that right? I mean, that's the truth. We wait until it is so bad. Then we know we can't do it alone before we'll ask somebody to help. And that's just the way we tend to be. But sometimes there are things that we were not meant to carry alone. And so if we were not meant to carry it alone, then God's assigned someone to help us carry it. Right? And it's not going to be hard on them because God has given them the grace to do it. And that's how the family of God moves and works together, is by the grace of God, because we're overcomers. We're overcomers. And to get close to Christ, we've got to have him in our thoughts, love him, and trust him. So let's take a look at this. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. What's that say up there? Okay, let's read Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. God cannot answer requests that say, I think I can handle this myself. Or maybe I should say, God doesn't answer requests when we're telling God, I think I can handle this myself. Or, well, I'm going to find an answer to this problem, and then I'm going to be able to explain it. How many have faced situations you just can't explain? There is no explanation for this whatsoever. But we will like toil with this in our minds and use up a lot of energy to try and figure it out on our own when God wants us to go to him. So the thought that I can handle this on my own or I can do this myself is really an independent spirit. And that's so common in our culture today. People are independent. They're going to handle it themselves. They don't want anybody else to help them. And in some situations, people shouldn't be helping you. But like I said, we are called to help one another, bear one another's burdens, and that's in prayer. Church, we've got to pray. We've got to pray for one another. That is one of the most important things that we can do to help people get through the day. When I talked to Elder Carol last night, I said, is it okay if I send your or talk about your request in the morning? And she said, yes, please do. Please pray. Prayer is what we need. And so praying for one another, not being independent. Because when we're independent from people and pull away from the body of Christ, we're really pulling away from God. And when you isolate yourself, you're most likely to become depressed. God made us to heal and to live together in community, in fellowship. Number one, when we admit to God that we need help, this opens the door to his grace. To admit a crisis and to face our helplessness opens the door to his grace. It's being able to say it. Sometimes one of the hardest things to do is to admit where you're at. People with the least stress are people who are willing to face reality. So when we face a crisis or we face a problem head on by yielding it to God, then we're admitting to him that we need him. And it just opens the door. And the Lord will say, what do you want from me? Do you remember when he was walking about healing people? He would say, what do you want from me? So we make our request known. Have you ever heard the scripture, you have not because you ask not? That's because we think we can handle it ourselves. Jesus asked one person that, what do you want me to do for you, is what he asked him. And The Lord, he responded to the Lord, open my eyes. And God opened his eyes. And that's a good prayer for us. Because the Lord is asking us, what do you want me to do for you? He's our heavenly Father. We're his children. There's not a father here on earth that, a godly father, that does not take care of their children. They'll knock themselves out to provide for their families. You know, our dads will work two jobs to make sure families have what they need. Amen. Nice to see you this morning. Let's read 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think we need to read that again and just let it soak in. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this is the Apostle Paul talking. And he was through all kinds of persecution. Things that we haven't seen in America. But he came to this conclusion that when he was weak, God is strong. Point two, complete dependence upon God is part of the answer to our mounting frustration. When we are trying to do things on our own and it's just not working out, we get really frustrated. Am I the only one? The frustration just mounts. Jesus referred to children in his teaching a lot because they ask for what they need in sincerity. And who can say no to a childlike faith? Jesus sees God his Father responding to us with good gifts. Not stones for bread, the scripture says, or scorpions for eggs. So the father-child relationship says, God is creator. God is our sustainer. Therefore, he has at his disposal all that I need. He's creator. He's sustainer. He has everything that I need. And he's ready to give it. When I'm ready to ask. When I humble myself and admit I am weak, but he is strong. I need his grace. And you know what? The peace of God that passes understanding begins to fill our heart and mind. And it passes understanding because we can't understand why we're so peaceful in the midst of what's going on. But we rest in God's provision because he's more than enough. More than enough. Let's look at point three. When we are completely dependent upon God, we are overcomers. The Greek word for overcome is the word Nike. Have you ever heard of Nike? And it's most often translated and means to carry off the victory. And at the same time, used as a verb and implies a battle. So the Bible teaches Christians to recognize that the world is a battleground. It's not a playground. Love not the world or the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, as what the scripture says. It's a battleground. It's nothing. There is nothing to connect to. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. We are just journeying through this land. And someday we're going to go home because we're citizens of heaven. We're citizens of God's kingdom. This is not our final resting place. Hallelujah. I'm glad about that. I'm thankful that I know I'm just passing through. God has so much better for us. If all we have is the hope of the world, the scripture says of all men, we're most miserable. Because this world has nothing to offer. We are here to impact those around us. We are here to share the love of God. We are here to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell somebody your testimony. Tell somebody about Jesus today. Encourage somebody. Smile at somebody. Jim said, pay for someone's gas. I'm like, wow, I do good at Starbucks to pay it forward, you know, or backward, whatever that is. I'll pay for that, yeah, car order behind me. I love it when I get to the window and they say, oh, your order's paid for. I'm like, hallelujah. So you bless somebody else, you know? But I've never offered to pay for someone's gas. That's a whole lot of money. Hallelujah. That was a challenge when he said that. Did you hear him say that? Oh, better keep some books in the car if you're going to be doing that, right? Let's look at John. So anyway, Nike. Nike is to carry off the victory. And so we've all heard Nike, just do it, right? Nike is actually a Greek goddess in mythology. And she was the victorious goddess. And so that's where that word comes from. And we are overcomers. I'm not saying we're Greek goddesses. Don't start spreading that around. But we are overcomers, and we're to carry off the victory. We're to carry off the victory. And if there's a victory, then there's a battle. That means you're on the battleground, not the playground. And so we shouldn't be surprised when things get so turned upside down. Sometimes it shocks us and kind of sets us back a few steps. But God has everything we need when we yield to him. Let's see what this scripture says. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can we just give a cheer? Woo! Yes! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're of good cheer this morning because Jesus Christ overcame the world. So we can have peace. He overcame it so we'd have peace. Thank you, Lord. We can carry off. Jesus carried off the victory. So you see, we just celebrate in that victory that Jesus carried off. We're an overcomer with Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We can do all things through him because he's already carried off the victory. It's not because we're strong in ourselves or so smart in ourselves. It is because he's already overcome the world. And our identity He says we're to overcome. So that means that all of the strength that we need, all of the forces of heavenly power is going to be with us. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Hallelujah. Let's read the next one. I know I have a few more verses. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. An overcomer is one who resists sin no matter what lures Satan uses. Let's read Ephesians 6, 11 and 17, which isn't up there. But it describes the armor of the Lord, and it's available for all believers. So, let's go to the next slide and see what's there. Okay. In Ephesians 6, it tells us to stand firm. Sometimes all it takes to overcome a temptation and to resist the world is to stand firm. Let your no be no, and let your yes be yes, and don't waver between them. A doubting person is unstable in all their ways. And James said, don't even expect to receive from God. Romans 12:21, let's read it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So how do we overcome evil? With good. Usually when evil comes against us, we want to be evil back. Isn't that right? That's kind of in our human nature. It comes against you, you're just like, yeah, you want to fight? Oh, what'd you say, Terry?
Roll up.
Roll up. And that's not what we're going to do. Overcome evil with good. Scripture tells us to rejoice when people despitefully use you for my sake. We have a lot to grow in, don't we, church? I'm thankful for God's word. And River of Life is a place where you're going to hear the word, and the word convicts our heart. But the word is the only change agent. God's word will change us. And as we read his word together, the power of God's word penetrates the atmosphere, penetrates our hearts. And we are transformed. This whole thing is a spiritual thing. It's not an emotional thing. It's not about getting all hyped up. It is about a spiritual work that God is doing in our life. Because the word is spirit and it's life. And it begins to birth something in us. It begins to cut away what should not be there. As I study these scriptures, I'm like, Lord, I really want to humble myself before you. You know, you can take the bull by the horns and we're going to get this done. Lord, we are going to get it done. But first I want to give it to you. Right? Because if God is not the motivating force behind it, we're really not going to accomplish anything. But we're just going to wear ourselves out. And so this is where prayer comes in. Prayer is so important. My house will be called a house of
prayer.
Not a house of entertainment. A house of prayer for all nations. Prayer. It's the key. The term overcomer is especially prominent in the book of Revelation, where Jesus encourages his people to remain steadfast through trials. So let's just read these and we're going to close today. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Revelation 3:21 and 22. You go ahead and read it. I need a drink. Let's keep reading. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, I'll be his father, and he shall be my son. Bishop often focuses on this next part, but the cowardly. The cowardly. Ends up in the lake of fire. Liars end up in the lake of fire. I would tell my children, don't lie to me. You'll end up in the lake of fire. It's the truth. Is that what it says? Some people, sexually immoral. There's so much sexual immorality that goes on in America. They're the number one producers of pornography. I believe sex trafficking is highest in America. We used to think it was highest in third world countries. Sexual immorality. Where does it go? Sexually immoral and sorcerers, idolaters, unbelieving, doubting unbelief. We'll have to teach on another time. Let's go on. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. And so then there is this on the PowerPoint, the blessing of overcomers. Do we have it? We're just going to read through these. There is a blessing for overcomers. For those who overcome the world, God has a special blessing for you. Let's read about it in Revelation. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, I'm looking forward to that. Are you looking forward to that? All right, next verse. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. That's good news, right? Don't want to go in the lake of fire. Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Revelation 2:26, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give him authority over the nations. Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. So he'll never blot our name out of the book of life. Which I've often wondered about this passage, because God knows our name before we're even born. And our name must be written in the book of life, because God's expectation is that we will all turn to him and receive his salvation. And so when we do that, our name remains there. But if we don't do that, then it must be blotted out. Isn't that something? All right, let's read the next one. Is this it? Revelation 3:12. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. Now, it's interesting, this city that's coming down from heaven. Have you ever studied that in the book of Revelation? It is amazing. What is the city? 1,500 miles long? And I believe its wall is 20 stories tall. 1,500 miles. Well, it says that, but then in another place it says, yeah, we'll talk later. He's an expert on Revelation. Sometime we'll have to have him teach us on the city that is coming down. This walled city, which it says it's 1,500, yeah, 1,500 miles high, the walls. You ain't climbing that wall. And you're not going through those gates. Uh-uh. Not unless you're a citizen. Wow. Wow. Yeah. We'll have to study that sometime. You know, you're blessed when you read and study the book of Revelation. Did you know that? The scripture says that. All right, let's read the next one. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Woo! Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Hallelujah. When we accept the fact that our true identity is overcomers, we'll settle for nothing less except a miracle from God and super international intervention into our lives. How many need some supernatural intervention? Look at the hands go up. Let's all stand today, and Amil, if you can just play. Lord, let this word just sink into our spirit. We often don't see ourselves as overcomers. We don't even feel like overcomers most of the time. I don't know about you, but some days I just don't feel like an overcomer. But that doesn't mean I'm not. Because we can't go by our feelings. We can't go by our emotions. We can't go by our own logic. We must go by what the Lord says about us.